Let's talk about your 60-year-old physician, always a challenge to have a patient who's a physician from Russia who's got mantle cell.
He, too, went elsewhere for many opinions, but they also all told him the same thing, so he did return to me. This is interesting. You know, we always think of mantle cell, obviously, as the worst kind of lymphoma that you can have because it has the characteristics of both the indolent in that it's not curable, but it has the characteristics of the aggressive in that, you know, a few years ago, everybody was dead in about 3 years. Now with some of the newer therapies, we're actually talking about survivals up to 5 years. And the Nordic group last year reported, they used the word cure of mantle cell in their title of their abstract and now published article looking at high-dose chemotherapy stem cell transplant with incorporating rituximab in those treatments. So we've come a long way since this was first diagnosed in the early 90s. You know, we never knew what mantle cell was until the molecular studies identified that this was not a usual follicular or intermediate grade lymphoma, but it had a special molecular abnormality with an overexpression of cyclin D1, which made the cells grow rapidly. And so R-CHOP has been used and everybody responds almost and you get, you know, maybe 45% complete remissions, but everybody relapses also in 16 to 18 months. So MD Anderson came up with the hyper-CVAD regimen, and then they came up with the R-hyper-CVAD regimen. And these are very aggressive treatments that can really only be given to young people.
So how did this man present?
He presented with the lymphadenopathy that was present back in March, and his primary care physician said, oh, it's a lymph node in your neck. Let's follow it and see if it grows. By August, he had a groin node and went back to his primary care physician. And she said, well, let's do some CAT scans. And he had generalized lymphadenopathy. And a biopsy was done of that groin node. And it was a classic mantle cell. And it had cyclin D1 overexpression, CD5, CD20. And he came to see me. We staged him. And he had bone marrow involvement, so he was a stage 4. He had no GI complaints. One of the important things about mantle cell is there are a lot of extranodal manifestations of it, and the GI tract is commonly involved. He had had a colonoscopy within the past year. They didn't do any biopsies, but I didn't feel that we needed to do any GI workup because it wouldn't have changed my treatment. He was 61, so he was sort of right on the line, and he was healthy. No comorbid conditions. So he was certainly on the side of the age where you could consider the R-hyper-CVAD regimen. But we happened to have a clinical trial. And so I offered that to him. He's now done 5 cycles of it. He's in a complete remission, and he will go on to stem cell transplant.
5 cycles of what?
So the clinical trial is the replacement of Velcade, bortezomib, for the high-dose methotrexate ARA-C part of the hyper-CVAD regimen. The high-dose methotrexate ARA-C part of it, which is in the MD Anderson regimen, is very toxic. 49-50% of the patients can get febrile neutropenia. Lots of transfusions are needed with this regimen. And so we know Velcade has been approved for relapse mantle cell. And so we're moving it frontline now.
So this is sort of the Brad Call modified hyper-CVAD to which you're adding bortezomib.
That's correct. And actually, Brad had piloted a similar trial at Wisconsin. He hadn't added the Velcade in his initial trial. He had just eliminated the high-dose methotrexate and ARA-C, and he had put patients also on Rituxan maintenance. And he had some very good responses in about 22 patients. And they were not all good players. So he brought this to ECOG and actually is the chair of the ECOG protocol for this. And that protocol has accrued so quickly that I was able to put 2 patients on it and it closed.
Wow.
So we'll see. What's nice about that protocol is that if the patients have a good response after 6 cycles, they have the option of going on to either Rituxan maintenance or autologous stem cell transplant. And so our patient has elected to go on to an autologous stem cell transplant.
So where is he right now in the process?
He's completed his 6th cycle. After being evaluated after 4 cycles, he was in a complete remission. So I think we will certainly move him on to transplant about a month or so after the last treatment.
How did he do with the therapy? Any neuropathy?
He has about a grade one peripheral neuropathy. And, you know, I think when you use even vincristine and Velcade together, if patients haven't been treated before, the neuropathy is tolerable. It's the myeloma patients who have a lot of neuropathy, have been treated with lots of other agents, and then they get bortezomib who get more of the neuropathy. But we haven't seen that to be a very, very high toxicity.